own title again?
Anda de londe di ele du mare.
Is it rolling, Bob?
You recognize that as the bicycle ring? So, yeah, it's me. 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It'd be Monday, March the 4th, 2024. And I've just parked myself on a bench here at the Birkdale Ravine, which you've heard about before. It's kind of a rise from here. There's a very steep downhill part. It's only the start of my walk. I only put in about 10 minutes. I left it too late today. I knew better than that, but somehow the morning just, you know, got away. A little reading, a little YouTube, a little news, a little breakfast, lunch, a little lie down with my cat. That's the thing that did it. I just, after lunch, I felt, I always feel, well, I'd just like to lie down. The other voice saying, no, Ken, now the sun is bright. Go for your walk now. But this other voice, just lie down for a little bit on your bed. That's okay. Bring a book with you, you know. It'll be time well spent. So up I went. Yuki was on a pile of clothes in another room, in our spare room. And I knew if I called her, she would come. She's very much like a dog that way. I mean, a lot of cats wouldn't do that. And, you know, I made sure, Yuki, come on, come on, come on, Yuki, come on, come on, Yuki. I could keep doing that because I had to do it a number of times. And then, of course, she just sat at the foot of the bed and stared at me. Okay, now what? You know, and I had to pat the bed and, come on, Yuki. Anyway, Yuki came and, lay on the pillow beside me, and we had a nice little rest. I listened to Jesse on Canada Land, and it was kind of alarming. It was based on the idea that people are so anti-Trudeau now. You know, even people sort of who would normally vote Liberal, they're just fed up with him, and people are angry about what's going on in Canada, and in particular, he singled out young people who, you know, can't get a house, jobs just aren't paying enough, and there's just people unhappy with the state of Canada. You know, we use the word Canada is broken, and his prediction is there will be a backswing for Pierre Poilievre to win, who's the leader of the Conservative Party, and they will be in for at least 2 terms, so you can be thinking of maybe 8 years of Conservative policies. And that, of course, doesn't please a Liberal, left-leaning Liberal like myself. Maybe the NDP and the Liberals will split the vote, and the Conservatives will just pick it up, all the rest. So anyway, it was kind of down. One of the things he blamed it on was Canada being too woke. And, you know, the same thing that's happened in the States. It's... yeah, I mean, to me, that's just simply not happy news, but I can understand. My vote was for Trudeau to step down and put a woman up in his place and you know, really come up with some hard-hitting, strong policies before it's too late, where it's very clear where they stand. Poilievre wants to, you know, come down on crime and, of course, cut the funding for the CBC and, you know, cut taxes. Meanwhile, we got battles in Ontario. Sorry, this is just going to be a little bit of political rant just to get out of the way. The NDP is saying, hey, come on, make the 407 toll road free for truckers, and that would get all these damn trucks off the 401 and really improve. And the Conservatives don't want to do that. But this would be a good move. I've always been in favor of getting trucks off the 401 onto the 407. I didn't think about having them not pay, but it's a lot of these are smaller truckers and so on. Let the public who wants to use it pay. Okay, let's stick with that because the 401 will be faster. So, but again, hey. And then meanwhile, if we went down to municipal policies, oh my God. But we'll let's just leave that, because if you're a listener and you're not from the Metro Toronto area, this is probably not of too much interest, or even if you're not Canadian. But it concerns me. All right. I finished one day. the show I've been raving about, and I downloaded the soundtrack. Maybe I already... I don't think I mentioned it anyway. The reason I loved it so much, and I'm just going to finish it off now because we're done with it, was I got emotionally engaged or involved with the characters. The characters are so well portrayed, and the acting was so good. You really cared about them. And in, you know, each episode coming up, you really cared. Where are they now? What are they doing? How are they feeling? What's the relationship? And that's a huge difference. I started to watch a movie last night that, it doesn't matter. Can't remember the name, and there's no point going on. But the point was that I didn't care what happened to anybody. And so I just stopped the movie halfway through. I don't give a fuck. Who cares? They're not real. I'm not involved. Whereas this one, I really, really want to know what's happening with Dex and Emma. There were nuances in the acting and their speech, the body language throughout the film, even with all the other characters, the way people sat, you know, stood, just body language. I mean, this is a sign of a good director and good actors, but I just can't say enough good about it, which was going to lead me to another almost political stance, maybe anti-religious stance. The thing, I mention this all the time on the podcast, and forgive me for repeating it, but I just need to drive this point home. The thing that gives me hope for humankind, and we all need hope, is the arts, the acting, the painting, the drawing, the poets, the musicians, the singers, the songwriters, the costume designers, blah, 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 the whole shebang. And what alarms me about countries where, for either religious reasons or just plain puritanicalism, or if there's such a word, puritanicalism, puritanism maybe would be a shortened form, might be a little more accurate. Okay, you know what I mean. And so this could include Christians, but I am thinking towards other religions where there are too many prescribed laws and rules, and they just don't allow themselves that freedom, or allow their citizens, their artists, to be creative. I mean, there are religions that just don't allow music and singing and dancing. And this is just like, hey, whoa, the future of mankind cannot go in that direction. And that's why I want to just take a big foot and stomp, not on those people, but on those belief systems. Okay, all right, let's park that. What else have I got? People who would never allow a show like Family Guy and so on. All right, I've got a line here. I've got some notes open in front of me. And one of them says, you can't hold on to the past. Well, what can you do with it? What can you do with the past? I guess, I don't know. I reflect over mine, a teacher from Japan, from the school I worked with, a teacher I've known for almost 30 years, is retiring this year, and we really like each other, and we consider ourselves friends, even though it was a working relationship. She represented the Japanese school, and I represented the program that I ran for them. But I used to teach at that school. That's how I got started. I was a teacher there as well, in their English department, and so it goes way back. And we talked about what we have in common, and I guess one of the things that I want to share with her, I haven't yet, aside from her joy and her laughter, she is somebody you could talk to and maybe get advice from. And I really like to see myself in that role. Not for everybody, not all the time. A lot of people certainly would not want my advice, but I treasure the few people who do respect me, but also might open themselves to me to a situation or a problem or a question or something, and then want to know what's my opinion, what's my view. And I've done that in a few cases, even recently, and gosh, I feel good about that. And it's like a role to play as you get older, and you've learned from your own experience, and you're not just quick to judge, but somehow you're trying to draw on things deep within you. Integrity, authenticity, honesty, the part where you make yourself vulnerable and share this with others, you know, and get into their lives. And I treasure that. And it's something I want to let this teacher know, my dear friend Mayumi, that she could do too now that she's retiring. Okay. So I don't know what that had to do with the past, but I guess looking back on the past, it's taught me a lot of lessons. I'm certainly grateful for the past, for getting me to where I am now, for everything about it, you know, starting, I mean, especially that one-way ticket to Japan. Yeah, all right, what do you got to lose? Keep going, having had no conception at all of where it would lead me, to this very park bench here, with my car waiting for me and a cat in the house, my wife at work, and both my sons working, and my God, an entirely new life. All right, self-love is the hardest to give. We've talked about that many times, and I'm sure it sounds to a lot of people, oh my God, Ken's going on about what a great guy he is again. But that's not self-love. That's just me trying to get a measure of myself. It's a lot more complicated because I do come down just as hard on myself for not being better at it. And I think when I was reflecting on this before I came out, and it's very hard to define love. You can define desire and lust and care, you know, fear, anxiety, all those other things, lots of things that are sort of abstract, but you can understand them. But love really, really is a hard one. And I think it can be confused with need, want, desire, you know, maybe even insecurity. So I still have some work to do there, and I haven't found that magic formula. I think maybe I'm a little closer than I've ever been, but I still have a very long way to go. Reveal more, ? Should I be revealing more on this Dixon Chains podcast? Am I hiding? Am I covering up? Am I only presenting the stuff that I want to share with people to portray me in a certain light? Or is there more that I should be doing? And I don't know. I listened back to randomly a podcast today from sometime early December. Oh, that was pretty honest. It was about the battle I had with both my sons coming down on me. And that was sharing pretty openly. So, yeah, hey, give myself a pass on that. All right, a quote. And I'm going to share it with you and see what's your take on it. If you think you love freedom, but you don't care if it applies to everyone, what you actually love is privilege. Now, this is another one of these nagging things, that word privilege, you know. And it's like this thing is wagging a finger at you, saying, hey, you think, you know, you're enjoying the freedom you got. But unless you do a better job of really caring about the word freedom and make sure it applies to everybody, then you're just not worthy. So, no, I don't like that one. Fuck it. I know I was supposed to come on the other side of that. So, thank you for that lesson. Thank you. Oh, fuck you. All right. Lady dog stroke, man dog bark. I kind of like that. It's almost a little poem. Lady dog stroke, man dog bark. That could be a title even. It was my walk yesterday. When I did not podcast, but took a very long walk again along this new corridor. It's a hydro corridor, so it's unexplored territory, and I really like it. It's out in the open, but you're under these giant hydro power lines and electrical lines. But there's lots of field and sort of marsh area all around you. And the thing is that I talk about often is just communicating with people. There is a man I've seen at least three times on that trail with his dog, and the dog is totally out of control. The dog has got a harness. It says, a security dog. I think there's a word for it. I can't think of my words today. As if it was a police dog or something. It doesn't say police on it. But anyway, like a dog that should be well-trained. And this thing, as soon as it sees a person, a bike, a squirrel, it just yanks the leash for this poor master. He's a tall, big guy with, I think it's a gentleman who's had hard times in his life. I'm pretty sure you could say that man has had some hard times and may not be completely over. But he and that dog are one. They love each other. And each time I've seen the dog, I've tried to befriend it, and it wants to jump up, and he's pulling back. No, down, boy, down. And the dog is just not paying attention. He's just going wild. And I love the dog all the more for it. And it's just a squirrely dog, you know. He's just, you know, maybe a little bit of, he's not quite right somehow. But it was such a pleasant encounter. And so as soon as I saw him again yesterday, I said, ah, there's my friend again. And, of course, the dog goes wild. The owner's yanking him back. And I talked to him about him. And he's going back as he's pulling. And, oh, there's not a mean bone in his body. And it's clearly he loves that dog so much. And it made a really nice exchange. I wanted him to know, I love your dog too, and I'm happy you're a good master and looking after this dog so well. So it's just, you know, third time meeting somebody and you have an exchange. Not everybody wants to exchange. Most people give a nod or a smile, or some might mouth a hello, because I've got earbuds in. But there's a few people, and I would say Asian in particular, who are less likely to smile and so on. I'm not quite sure why. I certainly know in Japan people want their privacy, and so you can walk on a path and people won't greet you. It's an intrusion. But here, Canadians, generally speaking, and mainly white people, maybe those are the people who are walking, old white people, are generally friendly in that respect and make sure there's some kind of an exchange going on. The other one was a woman. An elderly woman with a dog, and the dog also was yanking at her, and I said, who's walking who today? And she kind of gave a smile and a laugh, and then she seemed to be out of breath, and I thought, oh. And then she said, oh, he is, but that dog saved my life. And she said, I've had a stroke, and I was giving up, and now I walk this dog, and, you know, along the way, just feeling better, whatever. But it was another very, very pleasant exchange. And I said, well, good for you. And isn't that wonderful about the dog? And it was just, these are just the little short exchanges that we need more of. And fortunately for me, it's easy and getting easier. I'm more inclined to do this. And again, that comes with old age. But I know for a lot of people, it's just hard to do, and you feel awkward, and you don't know what to say, and you're kind of get stuck in a place, and it's too bad, because people are living enough fear of strangers that the more we just sort of get in the habit of being friendly, you know, in some meaningless exchange, it's a good thing. Okay, so that's what lady dog stroke, man dog bark is all about. All right, how about another little poem? This one from, again, the name I have trouble pronouncing, Thich Nhat Hanh, the Buddhist monk. The mind can go in a thousand directions, but on this beautiful path I walk in peace. With each step a gentle wind blows, with each step a flower blooms. Simple little poem. I kind of feel that today because I got a gentle wind blowing, and although it's getting close to spring today, it feels like spring. My God, it's like 13 degrees out. It's crazy. I couldn't wear my winter coat. My other coat's just wide open. It's just a glorious, glorious spring-like day. So that little last line, with each step a flower blooms, I think that means something new is revealed. That's how I take it, you know. When you paying attention to nature with each step, all right? You know, the mind can go in a thousand directions. You can just be so caught up and, oh, my God, what do I have to do tomorrow? Oh, I was late. I shouldn't have said that. I better get this. Oh, shit, it's too late to do that. And just, you know, we just get in that muddle I've talked about, that chatter. But on this beautiful path, I'm on a beautiful path today, I walk in peace, you know? quiet and friendly, and I feel the breeze, and I'm looking around at nature, at the trees, and feeling the sunshine. But maybe that final one, with each step a gentle wind blows, the wind means change, okay? The gentle wind blows, this is my interpretation, okay? I don't normally do poetry, but a gentle wind blows, the winds of change, everything is change, everything is new, everything is different. With each step a flower blooms. There is something to see and experience. Every moment is new. Okay. Well, that's it. We got through all the notes today. How was that? Oh, my God. In 20 minutes, the time is good. I got to go. I've decided I'm going to try something new today. I was going to do... My milk's not crazy about mashed potatoes, although I like them with onion and cheese. But I realized, I could do scalloped potatoes. I've never done scalloped potatoes. So today my challenge is to make scalloped potatoes to go with the chicken I'm going to buy. So off I go to do my grocery shopping. How about the rest of this walk? What time is it? No, it's 4:20. No, I'm just cutting this walk short today. Just going to do a few more steps in the sunshine, and then I'm going to go to the grocery store. Scarborough Dude signing out. Bye for now. Hang on.
J'étais en vogue. Désormais, on les a remplacés par des digicodes. Dans ma ville, il n'y avait pas de paramètres. Je voyais des ouvriers manger des sandwichs à l'omelette. Le passé me revient comme un bill. Ok, la présence d'un passé omniprésent n'est pas passée. Les halles supplantées par le coste. L'allégorie des madeleines file à la vitesse de Proust. L'air y était pur, Paris plus beau. Désormais, le ticket de métro augmente comme le nombre d'auto. Oh shit, à la télé, y'a plus de speaking. Y'a des films de série B que j'estime à 15 centimes. Les têtes nous plaquent, ces films de 3 pièces 7. Que je marque, mais mon intellect constate qu'ils sont obsolètes. Obsolète, mais stylé, la phrase qui suivra. L'homme qui capte le mic et dont le nom possède double à la variété statique solaire, l'arbalète. Qui pique cette dix solité à l'itolérite. Qui élabore depuis des décennies.
Okay. Gonna put that in the background. That is, the song is Obsolete, something like that, by MC Solar, a French rapper who is now popular in the States. That's what I read about here on Spotify. I won't even bother with the lyrics. They're all in Francais. So this is the Dixon James podcast, and I didn't even tell you what episode it was last time, because I forgot. It is number 987, and it is a Wednesday afternoon, 3:15, and I'm in Thompson Park. I've just finished my walk. I didn't want to take a walk today. I felt really tired and lazy, and, you know, I was trying to find a reason not to, but... If I stayed home, I would have been guilted into cleaning my office, which is really probably more important than taking a walk. But then in comparison, the walk seemed easier, you know, just walk and listen to some music and talk to all the friendly people. My goodness, I'm looking at somebody now who, they are straight out of the pages of The Far Side. I'm sorry, I'm not even going to describe the person. I'm just going to say that if I had to draw a sketch... You know, somebody in The Far Side, and I held it up beside this person, I'd say, oh my God, it's identical. Well, I mean, if I was a good Far Side, you know, if I was like Larson, I could draw the kind of crazy people he does. Anyway, you know, so everybody's different. Everybody's different. That's the way it's supposed to be. Oh my goodness, her dog is angry. Oh dear. So anyway, let's pull ourselves together here, buddy. And, Straighten our thoughts. That's what we're going to do. I had a longer than usual talk with the walker. Regular listeners will know the walker is a person I see circling this park every time I'm here. And this time I took out my earbuds. I was sitting in my walker taking a break, and he took out his earbuds, and we exchanged sentences. Now, again, as usual, I hear a lot about go to the mosque Friday, Ramadan soon, Scarborough Town Center, new shirt, new wallet, and no new shoes, no new shoes. No, not yet, not yet. So things like that. And then I realized, well, a lot of the problem is he just doesn't have much English. And so he's doing his best with the English he's got. There appears to be something a little bit. What's the word? Abnormal doesn't seem quite right, but unusual, I don't know, about him. But it's a friendly exchange. It's just, yeah, these are the people I see in the park. Another fellow just strolling away, and we smile and we make a, you know, passing joke to each other. It's wonderful, and it's that this thing I go on and on about the importance of just being friendly and making exchanges, smiling at people. All right, so let's move on from there. I've got all online sessions are currently in use. Yes, that's the message I got at 7 o'clock this morning. I set my alarm because I wanted to register for chair yoga, and they said, well, have these, all these numbers ready, and the course number, and your wallet, you know, or your credit card, and get on there at 7. Well, I'm on there at 7, and bam. All online sessions are currently in use, and you just keep hitting the refresh button. And by 7:15, I was registered for 10 sessions of chair yoga at the Birkdale Community Center. That's where you'll find me, Tuesdays, 11:45. Well, before that, I'll be playing shuffleboard. Anyway, it made me think, I was getting a little frustrated. Damn it, you know, and like, this is a big deal, and my wife is sort of, you know, what's the big fuss about, you know? Hey, you know, this is not the end of the world. And I wasn't, you know, yelling. I wasn't exasperated. But it seemed a bigger deal. Oh, I had to set the alarm and get up early. And immediately I thought of the people in Gaza fleeing with their families in hope of shelter, in hope of getting some food. Children dying, and all the things that are happening at this same time around the planet. And here's me sitting comfortably worrying about whether I'm going to be able to get into the, you know, limited 20 seats of chair yoga. And it just seems so unfair and unbalanced. And yet, the right thing to do was for me to get up early and do this. It's good for me, good for my health. It's not going to help anybody in Gaza. Me not doing that isn't going to make a difference. It just seems we do live in these bubbles, especially here in Canada. And it just, I don't know, it's disturbing somehow. Here come two women dressed with only their eyes showing. Now, I picked up a book yesterday. It's called Rebel. I got it for 50 cents at the Birkdale Community Center once again. And it was about the young girl from, it made the news. She left Saudi Arabia and had planned when the family had vacation in Kuwait. She was able to get the passport from her brother and get a flight out of the country, and it's that story. It was all over the news. You probably know that story. But it was just to escape the horrible life that was ahead of her, and she just didn't want that. And it really, really brought home what to me is, it's not just religion, it's not just culture, it's not just this is the way we do things. It's fucking pig-headed goddamn men who make fucking rules and treat their women like animals. And she talked about, you know, my brothers could play and run on the beach and jump in the water, and we couldn't do that. We had to stand back with only our eyes showing, wearing black in the fucking hot sun, while a man could do anything. And like, and it's other cultures. Somewhere it's just plain violence over women. And I'm just, to me, one basic, fucking fundamental goddamn rule should be equality for men and women. It doesn't matter what sex you're born into, and for that matter, let's throw in anybody in between. But Jesus, this idea that people, now, you know, they might be quite content with their lives. Who knows? These particular women I'm watching now with their iPhones held up to the slit where their eyes are so they can take pictures in this park. My goodness, here they are with no chaperone. Well, you know, anyway, I won't go on too much because I've talked about this so much, but it just seems so wrong. And how do you ever change that? This is like when you watch Star Wars movies or something in the future, this dreaded dystopian future of a fascist state of complete control over people, you know, cameras everywhere. This is the same kind of thing, controlling women. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't get an education. These are the rules of play. This is what you have to do and behave like. Because, you know, and what's the because? Because men say so. Jesus. Sorry. We're all talking about Nazi Germany, the film footage I saw, the liberating the American troops arriving at place just outside of Munich. And the horror that they had no idea they were walking into, and then making the townspeople walk through the camps to see, and most claiming, oh, you didn't know what was going on here. Well, the smell was pretty overpowering, and it started off with just the communists and the homosexuals, and then, you know, the labor activists and others who just put in this camp, and then they just started bringing them in and herding in the Jews from all over Europe, and just... this horror, you know, and almost in my lifetime. And you think, how is that possible? And the cruelty, the horror, the bestiality. And I blame men. Something in the toxic DNA mixture that makes up men makes aggression and hatred and this striving for power and... Anyway, sorry, I really didn't want to. Well, it was in the notes. All right, here's something that bothers me a whole lot, and this is a little softer, so, you know, relax. The British Columbia government made a huge subsidy of millions of dollars. I don't know, maybe 150 million, I don't know how much it was. I don't have the details, I didn't think they were important, because I've got the story. They gave it to a developer to build houses so that people who are making, you know, combined incomes less than $150,000 or whatever could still have the chance of having a home. I guess they were condos, maybe, or, you know, what do you call it, fourplexes, I'm not sure. Again, the details don't matter. I'll get to the point. These are subsidized housing, and so that people could go. If you had less than this and had no other property, and this was, you know, maybe a first-time purchase, you had a chance. And this, the builder, they, what they did, it was cheaper than them building themselves. So they just gave a builder, all right, we're going to give you this money so you can sell these at under market price. That's the deal, right? We'll make up the difference through this money. And so they were built and they were good homes. And then it turned out, this is just on CBC News recently, that several people who already had several homes or condos, or never lived in them but leased them out, were able to buy these places. And so the first part is like, this is, it's clearly who it was meant for. How could you, owner of three other homes, purchase one of these out of greed? Just fucking plain greed. The second part that makes me even more angry is, how was the government so lax that they didn't check on who was buying these things? One of them was an Asian woman who just bought it and then rented it out to a Chinese student who wasn't allowed to tell anybody that it wasn't hers. She didn't, you know, what the arrangement was. Like, people who would cheat when they don't need to. They're not hungry, they're not suffering, they've got a home. And still, they're of such low fucking moral character. Oh, God, I didn't, you know, this is why I don't watch the news. And I'm sorry, I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to talk about this, but it really bothers me. Like, what do you do? Like, these people need to be punished, and I don't mean torture, But a jail time, community service, out there fucking and sweeping the streets? Something. You're going to pay for this. You knew the fuck what you were doing. Never mind getting fancy lawyers and getting off and I didn't know, or getting a little fine of $10,000. Fuck, that's not enough. Okay. All right, I'm done. Sorry. That was unpleasant. It's just, you know, you despair sometimes of the hopelessness and how you know, we advanced so far. Like yesterday, they showed a scene where people were getting onto the International Space Station and all hugging each other, floating through the air. But there were Russians and Americans and blacks and whites and a mixed group of people with nothing to do with the war in Ukraine or the war in Gaza or anything else. That humans, still scientists, educated people, collaborating on experiments and projects and working together. And you just need more of that. And less of the fucking goddamn arms industry. Like, take out, and when I say take out, I don't mean necessarily to shoot them, but just, Eisenhower warned of that. The military-industrial complex. This is what's fucking wrong with America, and it's wrong with planet-wide. This is not fun anymore. But it's what I do sometimes. Hearing aids, I get ads every day for hearing aids. And, you know, sometimes, oh, $99 a pair. And then when you go to the website, you say, oh, there's a $300 pair. Well, clearly, something is deficient in the $99 pair, or you wouldn't need that $300 pair. And once the fact that I clicked and showed an interest, I am just inundated with ads for hearing aids, which I need, but like, where do you start? Like, who do you believe? Oh, mail back, money back guarantee. But you said just go to Walmart and pick up a pair. Anyway, is there something else we can do? Can I salvage this somehow? I've exchanged emails with Lil. I think I'm okay to say that. And She is very polite and clearly a well, sort of the opposite of the kind of people I've been talking about here, the bad ones. Like, clearly a thoughtful and considerate and good person. And the world is full of those. And the people I just meet walking around the park are on the side of the good people. It's just the news feeds you the stuff you just don't need to hear. But you keep going back for more. I've really cut back on it. But anyway, we've exchanged a couple of emails. And I think down in the future, probably, possibly, most likely, hopefully, I will have a walk with her through the park that she has podcast from before, where she does sometimes her practice, I think. If you've listened to Lil on Life, you'll know about this beautiful, huge cemetery in Toronto. And someday when the weather is nice, we'll meet up and have a person-to-person conversation. You know, extend it beyond what we started at PodCamp Toronto. So again, another plug and thank you to PodCamp Toronto for planting all these seeds and allowing people to mix and make new friendships and, you know, germination's happening. So, I'm going to stop there. I'll come back. I've got to make a meatloaf tonight. I hope it's better than my scallop potatoes, which I was going to do as a side, the leftovers with the meatloaf. I don't think my wife will want either, but we'll see. Oh, yes, a grain of rice. Here's my story. Now, this music is starting to annoy me a little, so we're just going to stop it. Stop that particular one. Sweet Female Attitude is the name of the group. Well, I'm sorry. I like your name, but I really don't like your song. A Grain of Rice. Last night, my wife made a Japanese-style stew for my son, who doesn't get home till late at night, and she always has something for him, so she cooks up. We have rice, like, we go through a lot of rice in our house, and we have a very good rice cooker, so she made the big container of rice, and so there was rice for him, and then made this stew with beef and potatoes and carrots, and then this thick brown sauce. And it's always tasty, and yeah, that was for him. We had steak instead. I barbecued steak, and I aced the barbecue again. They were thick enough. They were really good sirloin steaks, and she got them at some ridiculous price, under $5 for each. And they were big, like that was, you know, I had leftovers today. It's lovely to barbecue in the winter with a glass of red wine. Now we're talking pleasure again. But anyway, she made it. So just before I go to bed, the lights are off and everything, I think, ooh, maybe I should have a little taste of Daniel's curry. So in our house, when you've got the rice container, we have a rice spatula. It's a flat, white, very smooth spoon, very flattened. You know, you couldn't eat soup with it because nothing would stay on the spoon. It's flat. It's made to scoop up rice. And you can scoop it right from the bottom. It's like a scoop, except it's flat, okay? Nicely curved. They're beautiful little things. So that's what I should have used. I should have taken a little scoop of rice, put it in just a little dish, and then just got another spoon or ladle and just put a little bit of the curry on top of that and eaten it just that way, or put it in the microwave if I needed to warm it. But instead, I did the sort of camping style. I just got a fork. No, I got a spoon. Yeah, a regular silver spoon. And I stuck my spoon in the rice, and then I just carried the spoon over to the pot with the curry in it and stuck it in, made sure I got a little bit of meat there or a little bit of half a carrot, you know. And, that's good. I think I'll have one more. And then I noticed, uh-oh, there's a little bit of rice left behind the curry. Now, the thing is, my wife left some for Daniel, but she was bringing that curry into work to share with the Japanese people she works with. So I get my second spoon, go in there, and I think I've cleared out the rice. But I'm guessing from my wife's reaction this morning, when she asked me, did you have some of the curry last night? And I said, yeah, just a taste. And I think she said something like disgusting, not like she wasn't spitting when she said it, but it was like disgusting, like this rice in the curry. And of course, the only reason that was upsetting, and I'm telling this story, I'm making it sound like a big deal, like somebody said, oh my God, or I might have read, oh my God, so what, a grain of rice in the curry. But the fact that this was made for her co-workers, and the fact that Japanese people don't do that. You don't stick a big spoon into a vat of rice. You don't mix it up like that. Rice is very, it's a sacred thing in Japan, almost, and you just treat it properly. And I knew that. But I was just a little sloppy, and I left a couple of grains, like a telltale, oh, I've been into it. And if I had just been a little more careful last night and fished out those last two grains of rice, which you could see sitting on the top, floating in this thick sauce, if I had just taken them out, nothing would have been said. Everything would have been fine. Now, it's not that she's angry. It's not that I'm, you know, oh, there's a big problem here. It's just that it's a sign of, again, my Canadian-ness in comparison to her Japanese-ness. Like a Japanese person just wouldn't have done that. And I really question whether I should tell this story or not, because, you know, I know some people might think, oh, so what, you know? But it's not a so what. If you're actually sincere about respecting other cultures, and I know it sounds like sometimes I don't respect other cultures, but I do have a lot of respect for a lot of things about Japanese culture. And mainly it comes down to just good manners. And good manners meant I shouldn't have taken a spoon and put it in, especially going back for a second. Oh, my God. Oof. You know, wait a minute. You ate from that spoon and then you double dipped? Oh, my God. And so there you go. So I'll just leave that with you. I hope that gets away some of the taste of what I spewed out earlier. I don't know. I don't even know if I can use this now. But anyway, listen, we're done.
Did I even bell in? Yeah, I think I belled in, so now we're going to bell out. Scarborough Dude, I do care, and I hope you care too. Yeah! Bye for now. Oh, hang on, let me do that once more. Yeah! Oh, no, sorry.
I am not in love, but I'm open to persuasion. East or west, where's the best for romancing with a friend? I can smile, but with a lover I could hold my hand back and really laugh, really laugh.
Trading, but she is beautiful. That song was beautiful. And today is International Women's Day, so I knew I needed a female voice to lead into this. It's Friday. It's another glorious day. Like, we did not have winter in Toronto. I remember, like, one big snowfall. Maybe there were two, but it's just been incredible. I'm wearing a spring coat. I'm about to go out for my walk. I'm in Thompson Park. And, gosh, Women's Day, they're reporting violence, something like, 74 women murdered in Turkey, just brutality against women. It's horrific. And you heard me shouting a little bit earlier about just the stupidity of men. It angers me. I suppose it saddens me, of course, but it just angers me more. I don't know what can be done about that. How do you change the nature of man to be so goddamn stupid? I blame a lot on religion, as I do with everything that's wrong with the world. And you'd think, oh, well, no, maybe religion is the hope. But no, not the way it's practiced. Yesterday, of course, I listened to... oh, these fanatical white supremacists grabbing hold of Christianity and wanting a man like Trump to stomp out all the evils as they see it, you know, in biblical terms, going against the homosexuals and sex out of wedlock and so on. And that ties in nicely, if I can use that word, with the book that I'm reading. I picked up My Escape from Saudi Arabia to Freedom, Rebel by Rahaf Mohammed. There's just, I mean, so many passages about her, the threats of being beaten, the threats of any religion where, you're taught if you do something that's against what Allah wants you to do, you will go to hell. And teaching that to children, as in Catholicism, is, it's just, it's wicked. It's as wicked as the whole idea behind it. Like, my God, that's how you teach somebody you'll be punished for what you've done rather than, reward. I suppose, it works both ways. Oh, you get rewarded for being good. Allah will love you. Fuck Allah. Fuck God. Ugh. Is that safe for me to say? I'm going to read a passage from the book, just a quick one, because she talks an awful lot about, what it was like to be different, to question authority,
It turns out, it seems, and I guess this will be a theme running through the book, that she preferred women to men and got caught for kissing girls at school and, severely beaten for that. And that's just, you know, I mean, it's par for the course. But her brothers, you know, with this male-dominated society, could do anything. Check her phone to see who she's calling, what she's been doing, and just simply tell her what to do. No, you can't go outside. No, you can't ride a bicycle. No, you can't play in the park. No, you know, and you just didn't dare challenge. So quoting now, "We were also taught to avoid friendships with non-Muslims and all the cultural practices foreigners have, such as Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, celebrating birthdays, or having a dog as a pet." And dogs are forbidden under Islam, right? And of course, she's living in Saudi Arabia, where it's Wahhabism, which is more the most severe practice, which makes you question a lot of our political alliances. Anyway, "We were even taught not to wish non-Muslim well on any of their holidays, more no-nos. They taught us that Islam forbids women to travel or work outside the home without a husband's permission. Sexual intercourse out of wedlock may be punished with beheading, and gender mixing of men and women is forbidden, as is a mixing of Muslims and non-Muslims. Atheists are viewed as heretics in Islam and can be punished by death." So I'll just leave it at that. I could go through the whole book and read a lot more things that are just a lot more horrific. And it just reinforces my own feeling of anger at the religion in general, any religion in general. It just doesn't make sense. This is primitive. It's... You know, I wonder if we will reach a stage, perhaps in the next century, when there are no religions. But I fear, because people will look, humankind, the weakness of humans, will look for a replacement, and it could be fascism or under an all-powerful world leader. You know, again, getting into the darkness of the future, of the sci-fi dystopian futures of. It's all about power, and religion is about power, and fuck power. I mean, that's not what it's supposed to be about, love. And you can, you know, you can pick and choose. Oh, well, in each religion, yeah, oh, no, they're preaching love and give to the poor and so on. Yeah, it's a religion of beauty, but you can't sort of just pick and choose under Christianity, under Islam, under Judaism, whatever, under Hinduism, Buddhism, you know, to suit yourself. There can be elements of good in each of these things. Clearly there must be. But you don't buy the whole fucking package and all the goddamn rules that go with it. So sorry, it shouldn't be an anti-Islam or religion rant on Women's Day. I just wanted to say something unrehearsed, unscripted, about women and how sad it is that there are such double standards. And I guess in some ways I'm proud of the progress we've made, the fact of, you know, the gay rights movement and so on, but going along with that, or maybe preceding that, we're rights for women, and we see it reflected in our government in Canada here, the number of women in positions of power and authority and in business, in education. We see more and more, perhaps, as well, some women would say, on this day in particular, there's still a long way to go, but let's celebrate the progress that has been made. Certainly I feel enlightened to a large degree about a number of things, and I can see where we have come from, and that's to do with racial issues as well. The other book I'm reading parallel to this is just that story about this woman who
whole family in Nova Scotia disowned her family and church and everything else for going off with a black man and marrying him, and what a sin that was, and how God wanted to keep the people separate. That's why they made them that way, and these ridiculous interpretations of any religion. So I guess what I'm looking for, reaching for, wanting to hope for, and if I was a praying man would pray for, is enlightenment. And we're not there yet. We're getting there. Some eyes are open, but more and more there are forces that just are stomping down on any kind of progress. And there's just so much sadness in the world. All right, let's move out of there. I'm sorry, I could have done a better job of celebrating Women's Day. I did. My son is going out making sales today, and I did let him know that this may be a good lead into a conversation, which is what you have to do. And I also let my wife know, who wouldn't have known because she doesn't watch Canadian TV, certainly not the news anyway. The only thing we do watch is Coronation Street. And they're behind a few weeks. It hasn't even reached Valentine's Day yet. So did tell her, because she is co-hosting a big party today for, 150 people or whatever where she works with seniors. And I reminded her to be sure to use that as a greeting anyway. So now moving on from there, Frank Zappa, who said, without deviation from the norm, progress is not possible. Now, I think that is an absolutely wonderful quote. And it simplifies almost everything that I preach about. I am a little, I'm not deviant, but I'm not, my brain isn't wired quite the same as anybody else. It doesn't make me too special, because everybody else's brain is wired, in their own unique way and so on. But the whole point is, conformity is a danger. It does not lead to progress, and not so many religions are preaching conformity. This is the norm. This is how women should be, and his point here, without deviation from the norm, progress is not possible. Bam. It should be that should be taught to everybody. Although in school, of course, they'll try to do the opposite. Hey, no, fit in. And to some degree, I want that. And it's ironic, because I love Japan so much. And boy, that's not something you would teach in Japan, No, follow the norm. Be the norm. That's how we live as a harmonious society. Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. Struggle with that one. Works for Canada. Doesn't work everywhere. Ricky Gervais. Arrogance is asking a God who wouldn't stop the Holocaust to find your car keys. That's his definition of arrogance, but forget the arrogance part. Arrogance is asking a God who wouldn't stop the Holocaust to find your car keys, or win this football game for us. Yeah. I guess the other two things, I'm just about out of time here. I watched a nature show on Yellowstone to get away from the news and whatever, everything else. And it was just incredible. It was Yellowstone Park in the winter, the survival of these animals, the moles that can bury under the snow and make a nest, a home, and somehow feed and survive. The owls who can sit and hear the sound or see the movement. I think the radar ears hear this sound of the burrowing and can swoop down. The coyotes, the same, and will pounce too, because they have to survive too. And it's the cruel world. And here's the other thing that tying all this together. Life survives by almost one form eating the other. They showed the bison who could survive in the snow, and it was they're just a thing of beauty, these huge beasts. It was absolute pure beauty in just looking at the bison moving, charging through a snowstorm. And then they had packs of wolves, and wow, don't they look beautiful? And then you realize those wolves have to eat. And what they have to do is move upon a herd of caribou or antelope or whatever is going through the park in the winter and find the weakest or the oldest and killeth and eat it. And so it brings you, you know, how can life be beautiful when it's based on survival by eating the flesh of another animal or whatever? It's and you think, can there be, yesterday I was thinking, can there be a future for humans when we only eat food grown in labs, that we don't need to slaughter cows and chickens and pigs and stop that cruelty? Can we escape these biological roots and move to a more enlightened way of living in harmony? I don't know. Certainly won't be around. I mean, it's hard enough to be a vegetarian and to, you know, and I can't, I won't do it. I love my beef and I'll die still loving meat. But is that possible? You know, will we ever reach that level of actually being pure beings without having to kill? Ugh, what a thing to end on. But that is my hope, that more and more men will become less and less bestial. I'll leave it at that. Scarborough Dude signing out from the Dixon James podcast and wishing you all well. And thank you once again, Lil. I listened to your podcast. That's an example of a person who actually thinks and speaks eloquently and beautifully and clearly and has things to offer that can be beneficial to other humans listening. Scarborough Dude signing out. Bye for now.